Enemy in the water.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. This special edition of Rudy's Revelation podcast on Saturday to wrap up some news that I didn't get into yesterday. I didn't post yesterday, nor on Thanksgiving. So I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. It is November, Saturday, November 25th. Good to see everybody. First off, the riots in Dublin. What exactly caused the riots? Who committed the riots? Most importantly, who committed the catalyst crime, which was the stabbing? Who did that? A terrorist stabbing of young children outside the school in Dublin. Everything's fucked up here. All right, also, I'm going to get into the story about the Rainbow Bridge on the border of Canada and the United States on the East Coast. That was originally reported as a terrorist attack, and then it came in as people who lost control of their car and went airborne and exploded. I'm going to talk about another incident where there were cars that were going exceedingly fast and then exploded before they crashed. One of an important journalist, Michael Hastings. So we're going to get into this and more, but first, don't forget to engage the channel, like, subscribe, leave a comment down below, visit my other website, libpop.org, learn about libertarian populism. Stay hip to the trick. All right, let's get into the news. All right, first up from Sky News, Dublin riots, everything we know about the knife attack and the police clashes. More than 400 officers clashed with around 500 members of the public after a stabbing near a primary school triggered violent rioting. We don't know exactly what triggered it. Sky News reports on it. First off, that there was this stabbing. A five-year-old girl in critical condition and female teacher in her 30s in very serious condition. Everything we know about the attack, unfold the attack. Everything we know so far is three young children, a woman in her 30s and a man in her 50s were injured after the knife attack shortly after 1:30 p.m. on Thursday at Gale School, Colast Mirror, a primary school in Parnell Square East in the north inner city. Police say a five-year-old girl is in critical condition in the hospital. They don't say who it is. They just said it's a stabbing attack, which is the modus operandi of, well, you can't get handguns in Dublin, so it's going to be a knife attack, but what type of people have been stabbing young girls in parks and stuff? Happened in France once, and now in Dublin, they're not releasing the name of the attacker, which I imagine will be it's not a Muslim name, an Arab name. But then everybody went berserk, and we don't know why that is either. The superintendent says no terrorist related activity as a standalone attack. A Guardian's reporting violent protests in Dublin after women and children injured a knife attack. But still, they just call far-right rioters, but we don't know that. They were all dressed in black, which leads me to believe that they were anarchists, not far-right protesters, but there was a knife attack. I imagine it was done by a Muslim immigrant. Very possibly related to Islam. We don't know, but I doubt it's unrelated. And why there was a riot after, we're really not sure. But also rioting and burnings of cars and smashing of storefronts and stuff is in the European Union, it's indicative of Islamic frustration or Muslim frustration, Arab immigrant frustration, what have you. So we don't really know the facts so far. So I'm telling you what the facts are, which I believe are the facts, is that this was another terror attack, the stabbing of a girl and a woman outside a primary school in Dublin, and then there was riots thereafter. I haven't seen any footage. I don't have any indication that it's other than left-wing or anarchists. Anarchists can be right-wing anarchists too, so it is possible, but it's only anarchists that smash and burn things. Who would burn, you know, it's like the LA riots. Who would smash and burn things in their own neighborhood? stores that serve them. The stores won't come back if you burn, if you burn the stores in your neighborhood, they won't come back. So the other story I want to talk about is from the New York Post, Bridge Border Checkpoint. Oh, this is a Bentley driver who hit the Rainbow Bridge at the border checkpoint at 100 miles an hour in a fiery crash was heading to Kiss concert in Canada after visiting New York casinos. We don't know. What I do know is I saw the footage, and behind a pillar is a ramp, and that's how the Bentley caught air. So it seems a little bit contrived, and the reason I want to say this is, first, it was reported as a terrorist attack, and then it was verified that it was a sedan, which was a passenger car with two occupants that was going at a high rate of speed at the checkpoint, was launched into the air, exploded in midair, and then crashed. And the fact is, it exploded before it crashed, before it even got into the air. What seemed to be, it drove over a ramp. You could see it in the low corner. It's hidden behind a post where the CCTV describes the attack. Let's see if we can get rid of this ad box. And I want to talk a little bit about the Michael Hastings killing. If you don't know who Michael Hastings is, he was a journalist for Rolling Stone, and he feared prior to crash that his car was tampered with. Report, this is from Fox News from 2015. So Michael Hastings worked for Rolling Stone. He was a freelance journalist who was crawling up the ass of the CIA at the time for a big expose story he was working on, and that he was also, he feels he was being tailed by the FBI, and he had just finished a hit piece on Stanley McChrystal, General Stanley McChrystal, who was the overall theater general for Afghanistan, and he had a lot of damning things to say about McChrystal, and he was part of the leak, the type of journalist that would leak, still leak, material, and he was getting a lot, he had a couple inside sources, he was getting a lot of information that was damning to the establishment, particularly in the military theater, but also he was working on an expose of the CIA. And the CIA feared he was going to come out much like the guy who did Dark Alliance, the Dark Alliance series, the same thing, that they would have to destroy him after this individual who was working for the Sacramento, was it Sacramento Bee? One of those small California newspapers, and uncovered a link with drug smuggling in the CIA. But this guy was in the similar vein. In any case, the crash, I'll just tell you a little bit about Hastings, a swashbuckling war correspondent known for taking on powerful figures, had told several friends he believed the government was watching him in the recent weeks before his death on June 18th in Los Angeles. But in a lengthy profile in LA Weekly, Hastings' neighbors, Jordana Thigpen, says he knocked on her door after midnight and asked to borrow her Volvo because he was afraid to drive his own car. And then he died in a fiery crash. Hours before dying in a fiery crash, Rolling Stone journalist Michael Hastings told his neighbor he believed his Mercedes had been tampered with. Well, we know that. For the whole story, the Washington Standards 3 years ago, and this is from 2016, this article, Rolling Stone's editor conveniently died in a fiery crash while investigating the CIA. Notorious for ending the career of a four-star general, Rolling Stone contributing editor Michael Hastings suspiciously died in a fire explosion 3 years ago in the streets of Los Angeles, although the FBI eventually admitted to investigating his work, while CIA director John Brennan continued to lead witch hunts against investigative journalists. Hastings' death was immediately ruled an accident, while unanswered questions remain. So, his coupe was speeding down Highland Avenue, running a red light down the street. A surveillance camera, Pizzeria Mazza, recorded a brief video appearing to show two small explosions near the bottom of the car moments before hitting a tree and bursting into flames. Also, the engine was launched 100 feet away, which is hard to do for just hitting a tree. So, there were lots of other issues. The fact that he was under intelligence surveillance and then dies before publishing this damning article in the CIA. So I just wanted to let people know about Michael Hastings. You look into that. So I also go back to this Rainbow Bridge thing. And if you look at the actual footage, it shows the speeding car. I mean, it was a Bentley, but it was going like 100 miles an hour approaching the border, the checkpoint. So it also, if you know about, there was the issue with, what the hell was her name? The woman from Stanford. She had a young child, and her car mysteriously breached the White House grounds, or tried to, with her speeding car. You know, and she was shot and killed, but her baby who was in the car was okay. But there was no explanation for that either. So, and shortly before that incident, it was reported, and investigative journalists followed up on this, that you can hack a car and control it. And so we know that that's possible. So I think that's what's going on with this Bentley that hit the checkpoint at 100 miles an hour in fiery crash. So it got airborne, the Bentley, and then it exploded, and then it crashed. So also, how does a car explode like that in midair? It almost looked like Hollywood-esque. But moving on to some of the other news, in Reuters, Argentina's Milei says shutting central bank non-negotiable. So if you don't know what the central bank here in the United States called the Federal Reserve, and what it does, it loans money to the government at interest. And what the Federal Reserve is in the United States, in any case, is a conglomerate of private banks. Most private banks run central banks of the nation states. So Argentina's Milei says he's shutting the central bank. Now, if you know anything about Andrew Jackson, who was president of the United States in the 19th century, his whole platform was getting rid of the first U.S. national bank. I think it was called First National or whatever. So usually back in the day when you said national bank, it was indeed the national bank. We have the Federal Reserve now. It doesn't even have bank or national in its name, but it is a central bank. So not only was, well, Milei's election was not a surprise in Argentina, but Geert Wilders' victory in, I believe it's Sweden, no, in the Netherlands, Geert Wilders' victory confirms upward trajectory of far right in Europe, and not just in Europe. What about South America? If you consider it far right, obviously Milei is getting rid of the central bank. So you know he has concerns about spending. And, you know, he is a right-wing libertarian. In any case, Geert Wilders, who's an anti-immigrant politician who was seen as clownish like Trump for years, is now just won election. And they said, oh, it's a confirms upward trajectory of far right in Europe. It's not just in the Europe. It's not Hitler, is it coming back? It's usually a libertarian conservative bend, mostly nationalist in its nature. That's the anti-immigrant status, but also conservative in the fact that people want to get control of the spending. And they're also, you know, most of the conservative or right-wing populace are also against the climate change lie or narrative. Daily Mail reports battling the Silicon Valley billionaires. Furious Californians erupt at council meeting against tech titans' plans to build a 53,000-acre utopian city, but are dismissed as small vocal minority. So no city, most cities have resisted the smart city initiative. So what Silicon Valley is doing, well, the billionaires, the billionaire class, the elites, are going to build a model of smart city, because most of the cities don't want to adopt all of the policies needed to have a true smart city. So they're going to build a smart city, and they're going to use it as the city, a shining city on the hill, as an example of what should cities could be. And, you know, it'll be free of crime and all this stuff, but it's trying to get people to adopt smart cities, which people are resisting. Newsweek reports Chinese hospitals overloaded and echoes of COVID as pneumonia rampages. So it's a new disease. It's a pneumonia in China. Go figure. It's probably going to work its way here. It'll have some crazy name by it. Or maybe it won't. Maybe the general public is leery of you know, crazy names for viruses and stuff. Maybe if it's just the pneumonia, it'd be even scarier. Also, some Chinese news. Growing numbers of Chinese migrants are crossing the southern border. More than 24,000 Chinese citizens have been apprehended crossing into the United States from Mexico in the past year. That is more than the preceding 10 years combined. And who knows? I'm sure a lot of them are going to be working for Chinese intelligence. That's, you know, all expats from China, all Chinese nationals are required to be to gather intelligence for the Chinese Communist Party. And I'm sure even dissident expats that might be sneaking here will be asked to do the same. Because you're always going to be held hostage if you have relatives back in China, because it's like Big Brother. Oh, you have to give us intelligence on the Americans, or we're going to kill your grandfather or whatever. We're going to use your auntie for organ harvesting or something. The Nation, which is a left-wing magazine, reports, should America keep celebrating Thanksgiving, we need to decolonize Thanksgiving, replacing Thanksgiving with Truthsgiving. And I just was watching someone on C-SPAN, another lecture about the 1619 Project, where it showed the Spanish in 1619 giving thanks also. And they said that's the first Thanksgiving because they reached the land and they gave thanks. It's not unusual for Christians, particularly Catholics, to give thanks, particularly seamen, when they reach solid ground, especially been, you know, one of the virgin voyages across the Atlantic. So that's not surprising. But they're trying to say that was the original Thanksgiving, not the one with the pilgrims and the Indians, which is, that's the whole point of Thanksgiving, is the breaking of bread with their supposed enemy, let's say new friends, and they work together to cobble up enough food to have a feast. It was really the harvest feast, but whatever. You know, Thanksgiving is just a harvest holiday, harvest festival holiday. So they took the bounty from the earth, they give thanks for it, and the Indians join them. And so it's so, if diversity needed a holiday, this would be it. The white man come and they make friends with the Indians in one scenario, in one narrative, and they sit down together and break bread. Everyone should like that holiday. It's a truly American holiday, and I think I like Thanksgiving the best. Nothing wrong with Thanksgiving. Apparently in 1619, the Spaniards came, and on Thanksgiving, after they got their bellies nice and full, they killed a bunch of Indians. Excuse me, Native Americans. The indigenous people, this isn't our land. We need to give it back. Okay. The world was conquered over and over and over again by a variety of different peoples. You're going to make the swarthy people leave southern Europe because of the Moors were there? I mean, come on. Ridiculous. Anyway, that's the liberal view of Thanksgiving. Fox News reports liberal columnists call for Americans to decolonize Thanksgiving, promote Truthsgiving. I just showed you that. A Washington Post, here are the facts to prepare you for Thanksgiving Day arguments. And they go through politics, abortion, president's age, they defend Joe Biden, Trump's legal cases, which they don't give a fair analysis of, other investigations, they start with George Santos, they go to Clarence Thomas, the GOP-led oversight, accountability into Joe Biden, blah, blah, that's all the way down. Menendez, of course, Democratic senator, is way at the bottom, and they don't. So they do say some truths. Averted shutdown, they have to go to at the border, pop culture. They go into a bunch of other crap. But they don't give the Washington Post never gives an accurate take on much news. And the USA Today reported no more food fights, how to talk to politics or not with relatives on Thanksgiving. And they give a similar take like the Washington Post did, which was, the way to handle your crazy Republican uncle, which was the old joke, that drank too much and started talking politics. So they talk about avoiding public discourse. And when I was at Thanksgiving, I did talk about some spicy subjects, but doesn't necessarily have to be political. I was discussing them with an independent. Sure. Decide or whether or not to engage at the table. Yeah, I mean, you can. And this was how I engaged at Thanksgiving, was you can debate. If you're intellectually inclined, most people are not, I suppose, but and you're able to temper your emotion, you could debate political public policy. But the problem is most people resort into yelling or violence because their argument fails. Approach with empathy. I always tell this to people I debate. If you can change my mind, better for me. But you have to try to change my mind. And most people don't have a substantiated argument. Exiting unwanted conversation. So they truck. All they do is talk about how to deal with it with avoidance. I engage, but you have to be... The thing is, to have a respectful argument or debate with somebody is hard. You have to be restrained emotionally. And you have to have some facts to bring up the thing that can be substantiated. That's the problem with most people. They don't substantiate their argument. They believe something, but they can't tell other people how they came about to believe it. You know, oh, I heard it on Alex Jones. You know, and most people read, they could go, well, I read in several articles that used several different sources that all claim the same thing. Also, or, and this has to do a lot with conspiracy, or there's no evidence to support the narrative. People say, you know, nothing has been investigated by the media or whatever. People say, the state said, we never saw pictures of, but the state said that they have alien bodies in custody. You know, the state said we saw aliens, or the state said, and by I mean state or municipal or federal government that happens to mention this, that, or the other thing. That's why, for me, jury's still out on Adam Lanza and Sandy Hook. Never saw pictures of Adam Lanza after his so-called suicide. Never saw evidence of a crime scene of children being killed. Not saying it didn't happen. That's why I want to be clear. I didn't see any evidence of that. And the FBI file was quite redacted, and they just told you what the conclusion was. Where I didn't see a picture of one bullet hole inside the building. You couldn't show me that? Would that be too traumatic for folks? Come on. Anyway. So I was able to debate that, among other things, 9/11 and COVID, of course, which was easy. If you were following the story on gain-of-function research, it leads to its own conclusion that COVID was inevitable, whether it was, you know, whether the pandemic was a result of a leak from a biolab, which is plausible. It might not have been that at all. That might be another cover. Anyway, it's it for me. I hope everybody had a great holiday, great Thanksgiving. I'll see you Monday.
Rudy's revelations.
This is a conspiracy.
That's what this is.